Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and we've got a lot of things to talk about here this evening, and fortunately, finally, the camera on my computer is working. If you try to catch us on Facebook Live, now you got a picture there. Started out there, had no picture. We're going to pray here in just a moment. Got a few things to talk about here tonight. A couple of things, praise, and then, of course, I want to look at what's happening down in Texas, some information on that tragic shooting at the church there in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And so let's touch on that here this evening as well. We are live, and tonight we are guest-free. We've had a few guests the last few programs, but we are guest-free tonight, and the telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. And Lord, as we come on the air tonight, certainly our hearts and our prayers go out to the people in Sutherland Springs, Texas, at the First Baptist Church there, and the family and friends of the people who were killed and injured. We just pray, Lord, that in the midst of this tragedy, that you could bring some good out of it. And just pray for people who are searching for answers, that you guide us through your word. And again, we just pray that you bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us encourage believers as we look into your word together. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to come to the shooting here in just a moment. But before we get caught up in other things, and I forget to mention it, last week we had Michael Goldstein, who is the Ohio director of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and he was talking about the mission of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation to encourage Christians to support Israel and the Jewish people, and also one of the things that they're doing is supporting passage of bills and things in the states on supporting the nation of Israel, as well as the Jewish people, and speaking out against the rise of anti-Semitism in our country, especially on college campuses. And he also was talking in particular about the movement to take a stand against the BDS movement. The BDS movement is Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. It's a movement that's directly aimed at economically destroying the nation of Israel. And so we talked about that last week, and one of the things that was mentioned was House Concurrent Resolution. It's right in front of me. I should be able to say it. House Concurrent Resolution number 10, which was here in Ohio. It was in committee this past week. It passed out of committee. It is now going to go to the Ohio House for a floor vote. I don't know exactly when yet, so if you're here, wherever you are, pray for it. And if you're here in Ohio, contact your representative, and we're praying that there'll be a quick vote, and it'll pass overwhelmingly and go on to the Senate and quickly pass in the Senate, and then on to the governor's desk for his signature. And so do pray for that. I had a text message from somebody who was at the committee hearings this past week, and they said some of the opponents to the bill were standing up to talk, and then they said they were shouting at the committee members. And I thought to myself, well, that's not a good way to win votes. Well, they didn't get too many votes because it passed out of committee with only one vote against it. And this is putting Ohio in line to be the next state to pass legislation standing up for Israel and standing against this boycott, divestment, and sanction movement. Also, what's interesting is the state of Wisconsin, Governor Walker, recently issued an executive order also standing with Israel, saying that Wisconsin is standing with Israel and standing up to this boycott, divestment, and sanction, the BDS movement, against this effort to economically kill the state of Israel. So, again, pray for those actions, and wherever you are, Ohio, Florida, or somewhere in between, chances are your state, if it hasn't already dealt with this issue or passed legislation taking a stand against the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement, they will be soon. You can call, you can get in touch with the Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, PJTN.org, I believe is the website, PJTN.org, and you can find out what's happening in your state, so I encourage you to do so. All right, wanted to mention that. I don't have any of the other details on this right now, but I heard that the heartbeat bill is alive again in the state of Ohio. And if you're not familiar with that, this is basically a bill. Similar legislation in other places has occurred with the idea no abortion beyond the time when a baby's heartbeat is detected. So if we get more information on that, we'll try to let you know. And certainly pray for your states that might be going on there as well. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we're, well, mention here too, you can follow us on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, or you can go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And certainly you can give us a call. Our telephone lines are open tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Wanted to mention to you as well that we're obviously it's the first Sunday in November, and we're thankful that we're still on the air in Florida. We're certainly glad to be able to have the ability to still be on the air in Florida. Continue to pray for us. Nice to hear from some friends in Florida. Here recently, and St. Petersburg area in particular, that here weathered the storms when Irma went through, and God protected, and so do pray for the people who are still recovering from the hurricanes here these past couple of months between Texas and Florida, and certainly Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico especially hard hit, and do continue to pray for the people that are there. Thankfully, a number of faith-based ministries have stepped up. Locally, the Nehemiah's Network out of Columbia Road Baptist Church here in North Olmsted, Ohio, out on the west side of Cleveland. Their Nehemiah's Network has been shipping relief supplies. They did in Texas, they did in Florida, and they've got a container, I believe, possibly is en route or has already arrived has arrived in Puerto Rico, and perhaps another one on the way, something to that effect. I forget the details there, but it's nice to see some of these faith-based organizations stepping up and helping out in these areas. And so let me encourage you to find out area, you know, places in your area that you can work with, hopefully through your church, to get involved with some of these things. All right. Let's see. Another thing I want to mention before I forget, a number of things trying to go through here real quick. Of course, next week is Veterans Day, and so hopefully in our Friday program, we might be doing something for Veterans Day. Of course, it's going to be Saturday, so 6 days from today. So we'll be hopefully doing something special for that on the air in our Friday program. And say that to remind you that even if you're in the area where you do not pick up our Friday broadcast, you can find us online. And I try to post our previous programs on our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we try to do the Facebook Live. It doesn't always cooperate. If you've been watching on Facebook Live, you know, sometimes the thing cuts out. Sometimes I even had to restart it. Seems to be doing pretty good tonight. I know they're making improvements all the time with the internet portal here in the studio. And so we're hopeful that in the future we might even be able to do more with the Facebook Live. So pray about that. And as I said, pray about us on our Florida program. We've got funding carrying us through at least the end of the year in Tampa, and so we're glad for that, and continue to pray for us, and we'll continue to do what we're doing as long as God allows us. So we're very thankful for that. All right. Again, those phone lines, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And wanted to touch on some of this information that's coming out in regards to this shooting. I had hoped to talk a little bit tonight on, and I'm going to just mention this in passing before I forget this as well. Barb from West Virginia, who's called the program in the past, had sent a message on Facebook about the woman at the well told to go and sin no more, and about people losing their healing if they sin. And we're not going to be able to talk about that too much right now, but just let me touch on that briefly. Of course, the woman of the well in John chapter 4, she was a woman of ill repute, I guess is a way to say it. But she encountered Christ and realized who he was. And I believe we'll see her in heaven because she was forgiven. But there are healings that take place. And the healings, you know, we live in a physical body that's subject to the things that happen in this world. Lazarus, when he was healed in the sense that he was restored to life, he later died physically. And it's not that he lost his healing. It's just that he was subject to the affairs of life. Now, God sometimes does heal people in various things, and sometimes he allows those illnesses to come back. Sometimes God allows illness to come upon somebody because of a particular sin that we're in. James chapter 5, I believe, talks about the prayer of the faithful, healing the sick, and if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven of them. And so sometimes in terms of chastisement, but when a Christian is sick, it doesn't necessarily mean he's being chastised. It might just mean that you sat next to somebody who had a cold and sneezed on you and coughed on you for an hour at work or something. So we live in a world, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And with that, I want to segue into the thing in Texas. And if you are not aware of it, I heard about this coming back actually from our nursing home service today. And when I came back, I heard a little bit briefly on the radio. And then when I got to church and I was getting ready for our evening service, I checked online and got some reports. But basically what happened in a little town, and it's not a very big town, a little town of Southerfield, I believe it is Southerfield Springs, and it's out in the middle of Texas, Sutherland Springs. I'm sorry, not Southerfield, Sutherland Springs, and it's out away. I think a couple hours or something like that, south east of San Antonio, and just small town, small church. Probably only has about 50 people there in any given Sunday morning service. And this individual came in, 26-year-old white male came in. guy who apparently had been dishonorably discharged from the United States Air Force, and he came in dressed in black, tactical gear with a ballistics belt, and carrying, I think, what essentially amounted to an AR-15, and he began shooting. Now, here's the thing. What happened was he started shooting. He was spotted at a gas station. He crossed the street toward the church, and this is the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, and he began shooting from the outside of the building. Now, you know, you see in the movies, people will be shooting, and, you know, the good guy or the bad guy will duck behind a wooden or a crate or a cardboard box, you know, for protection. Well, there's no protection there. That's only camouflage. Camouflage is when you can't be seen. Cover is what prevents bullets from hitting you. And a wooden door and a wooden wall or a window or the back of a pew is not necessarily going to provide cover when somebody is shooting with a rifle like this. And he began shooting from the outside of the building. I guess he walked around to one side of the building, and he continued shooting before finally entering into the building and shooting inside the building. He came in. Now, what happened, and some media outlets are not covering this part of it, but the attack stopped when he was tackled by a local man, a neighbor, who came there and shot back at him and knocked the rifle out of the shooter's hands. And this neighbor, who is not identified, and I like what some people have said on the radio, they don't like to name the name of these shooters to give them any more publicity and infamy than what they already have. But this armed neighbor, not the police, is the one who got him to stop shooting in the church. And by the time this neighbor arrived, it's like they always say, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And there was at least, I guess, about 26 or 27 people, I think it is now, that have died as a result. Almost as many people have been wounded. And that means that nearly everybody in the church, about half the people in the church this morning, were killed. And the ones that weren't killed, most of them were wounded in some fashion. And the shooter ran from the building, pursued by the armed neighbor. And another neighbor joined in with him, and they jumped in his truck, and they chased the guy as he sped off. The guy lost control, and he went into a field, and the neighbor with the gun kept his rifle trained on him. But the shooter, after crashing his car, was found dead when the police got there. Now, the story at this point is kind of murky. We don't know if he killed himself. We don't know if the neighbor with the rifle had fired at him somewhere in the course of everything, and the man died as a result of that, or if the police shot him. We don't know that detail. Some of these details will come out later on. What is clear is the police only showed up afterwards. I'm not faulting the police. Like I said, when seconds count, the police are minutes away, even with the best of intentions. And that's where an armed populace is important. And yet we have, you know, forgive me if I get a little irritated over this, but we have these ignorant talking heads trying to say that somehow the gun was at fault. Now, let me ask you this. How many laws could have been passed to keep this guy from murdering these people in their church this Sunday morning? Let's see. Last I knew, it was illegal to fire into a building, church or otherwise, that has people in it with the intent to kill them. And even if without the intent to kill them, that's, so far as I know, against the law. He broke that law repeatedly. It is, as far as I know, in Texas, illegal to break into a building, into a church service, and start shooting unarmed people where they're sitting. Now, again, maybe I'm mistaken, but that's against the law, I thought. He certainly broke that law. Now, Another thing, too, is if he was dishonorably discharged from some things that I've been reading, my understanding is that in Texas, he would have been forbidden to have owned a weapon from being dishonorably discharged. And so if that's the case, he broke that law as well. So what additional law would have prevented him from doing this? Well, maybe an additional law would have taken the gun away from the neighbor who came because he heard what was going on, and he came with his lawfully owned weapon and employed his weapon in a lawful fashion to put a stop to this massacre. Now, the only thing that additional laws would have done was probably taken away the weapon from the neighbor that stopped the massacre. The guy probably would have kept shooting until everybody in the church was dead, not just half the congregation. And so my question then again is, why do we think that another law or another two laws or 10 laws or 100 laws would have stopped him? Oh, it's everybody's afraid of the NRA, the National Rifle Association. That's why they won't pass laws that would stop something like this. We need to reduce the magazine size. Oh, let me, you know, I heard one of the most ignorant statements here on local radio here earlier today when I was coming back from the nursing home, and I heard them talking about this. Some guy said, there's no reason you should have a magazine over a certain capacity. The only reason to have a magazine that shoots a lot of, enables you to shoot a lot of bullets is so you can go out into a field somewhere and shoot a lot of bullets, either that or shoot so you can kill a lot of people. There's no other reason. Absolute stupidity. And he was trying to say, you know, some people say if you have a large magazine, you can better defend yourself if somebody breaks into your home. And he said, you should be concentrating on accuracy. Oh, yeah, you get woke up in the middle of the night by armed intruders coming into your house and threatening you, and you grab your gun and shoot like they do in the movies with pinpoint accuracy, every bullet going exactly where you want it to go at exactly the right time. No, you're half asleep. You wake up. You don't have hardly time to aim. And having a lot of extra bullets inside that magazine gives you more effect and more chances of defending yourself. Good grief. If having more bullets was less important than being more accurate, then why would anybody in their right mind have a shotgun for home defense rather than a rifle? You know, people have shotguns because you get a pattern that goes out, so you don't have to be as accurate, because in the dark, in the night, you know, what if you're somebody who wears glasses, you don't have time to put your glasses on, and you're just pointing it in a general direction and shooting to defend yourself? Well, anyway, we look at these things and we wonder, why did these things happen? But let me ask you this. Let's say they passed a law, like some people would like, banning private ownership of guns entirely. Well, you know, they did that in Britain, and shootings went up because all the criminal element remained armed and the law-abiding citizens gave up their guns. Same thing happened in Australia, I believe, too. But here's the thing. Let's say that you could ban all the guns and get rid of all the guns. Hey, do you ever hear about somebody jumping into a truck and running down on innocent pedestrians? Seems to me that just happened recently in New York City, didn't it? There at Halloween, we had a guy crying Allahu Akbar in the name of Allah and for ISIS. He jumped in, he took a truck, and he mowed down as many people as possible. Yeah, well, why isn't somebody saying, well, nobody should have a fully automatic truck over a certain capacity, right? I mean, if you ban the guns, they'll use a truck. What are you going to do? Well, nobody should be allowed to drive then. Well, you know, then they'll bash each other with rocks, probably like Cain killed Abel in the first place, you know, in the Bible. But what I'm getting at is the man broke laws already. He would have broken any other laws that were put in place, because he was determined to kill. We don't know his reasons yet. We don't know why, but he was determined to kill. And he lived a couple hours away from this, and we don't know why he picked this church. Some of these things will start coming out. It's all speculation. Doesn't appear to be any kind of Islamic connection at this point in time. who knows? Yesterday was supposed to be the day of rage where Antifa and the resist fascism groups and the various indivisible groups and all were planning these nationwide riots. I mean, demonstrations. I don't know that much of it ever happened. Cleveland was supposed to have had one. Akron was supposed to have one. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Portland, Oregon, I guess, had about 100 people show up. They were scheduled all around the country, different places. And it was supposed to be a day of rage until we could we could get rid of the horrible fascist Trump-Pence regime and all this sort of stuff. Maybe the guy was inspired by these people. We don't know. We don't know the reason why, but we do need to pray for the people who are involved there. This has to be hard on them. I could not imagine being the pastor and having my daughter shot in a shooting like that, and then having to come back to the church where my daughter died, gunned down, along with half my congregation. It's just unbelievable. But I do know this. God never promised that believers would never undergo difficulties, would never go through persecution, would never have tragedies happen to them. But God did say this, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He said in Isaiah that when we walk through the fire, he would be with us. When we walk through the floodwaters, he would be with us. And so I know that God is going to be with them in the days, weeks, and months ahead. I don't know why God allowed this to happen there, but bad things do happen to good people. I don't think God singled out this church for some form of judgment, at least nothing from what I've heard so far. This seemed to be a church that preached the gospel. And as a Baptist church, you know, I can certainly identify with them as a Baptist pastor myself, pastor of a Baptist church. But what I do believe is that God is going to work through this in that community. And he's going to accomplish something, because what the devil meant for evil, God is going to do something, and he's going to work in the hearts and lives of these people that are impacted. But the devil's going to try to as well, and he's going to try to destroy lives just as well as he's destroyed bodies. And so we need to pray for the people there and for this church. And we need to pray that this attacker will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He needs to be saved. So, any rate, we're out of time here for this segment. I hope you'll stick with us and join or stay with us. We'll be on till midnight yet tonight, so stay with us.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll continue here talking about what happened in Texas here today. And I do need to correct something that I said going into the break. I mixed the Texas shooter with the New York shooter because, you know, I was talking about both of them in the last half hour. And the Texas shooter is dead. We can't pray for him to be saved. I said we need to pray for the attacker to be saved. And I was getting some funny looks on the other side of the microphones here. And I didn't realize what I was saying because I kind of confused him with the New York shooter, the New York driver that mowed the people down in New York City in the terrorist attack there, the jihadi terrorist attack. That guy there still has a chance to be saved. He wasn't killed. But unfortunately, the individual in Texas, excuse me, he is dead, and he is now in a place, a literal place called hell. And he is going to be there until the day of the second resurrection. In the book of Revelation, he will be called up to stand before the Lord, where he will be judged for his sins and accorded punishment in the lake of fire for all eternity. So we really can't pray for him. We can pray for his family. We can pray for those that knew him as they try to sort this out. But we'll get into some more of this again. But let me just remind you, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And also a reminder that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. You can find us there. I have a link from our webpage that takes you to the Facebook page as well. You can go there. I encourage you to do so and follow us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook. I try to post some articles and things there from time to time, things that I find interesting, linking to some things that I'm looking at, perhaps some things that I'm working on, researching a little bit, and I try to put some of those things on there. You can also see some things that I post to our church website as well, from that as well. But of course, right now, of course, I have a link to an article on the Texas church shooting. And then there's some links to our church Facebook page. And then I've got a couple of articles there dealing with communism and the embracement of communism by millennials here in this country, mostly because they have no clue what communism really is. There's some articles there that'll help you understand what's going on there. But from time to time, various things could be anything from dealing with Islam to creation to the Bible to biblical history to church history. It varies, whatever comes in there. Sometimes there'll be a slew of things of similar topics as I'm looking at things. But at any rate, also want to remind you that if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to past programs there and find some other information on that page as well. So encourage you to check those things out. And again, we are brought to you tonight not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit if you're ever in the area here in northeastern Ohio. We're right midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, which is the Ohio Turnpike cross, we're right there located at that location. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and that is located at 5171 Brecksville Road. And I can see the Turnpike toll booth right from the room where we meet. And we're there every Sunday. We have our morning Bible study at 10. Our morning service starts at 11. Currently, we are going through a study looking at the arguments for the existence of God. We're looking at the teleological argument right now, the argument for from design, a design that calls out for a designer. And then on Sunday morning, I'm currently preaching through the book of Romans and just finished Romans chapter 13 this morning. And then on Sunday nights, we're preaching through the book of the Psalms, and I just did Psalm 126 this evening, and a very good psalm there as one of my favorites. And so that's what we do, and we do show some of those, at least the preaching portions of those services on Facebook Live, on our church Facebook Live page, which if I can, I don't always get the chance to do it depending on what things are happening. Try to share that sometimes on our Facebook, I'm sorry, our Live with Pastor Al Facebook page. So, but you can find some of that stuff online, so encourage you to check that out. All right. Also want to remind you, brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in the east side of Cleveland, you want to check them out, you can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're not in the area and you're not going to be able to come there to have a pizza, or have one delivered to you, I should say, because you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Maybe you're interested in starting your own pizza business, or you have a restaurant and you need a good pizza recipe. Well, give them a call, 216-341-9100, and talk to Gus. He can help you get started your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. All right, well, we're going to get back into some things. Continue to pray for the people in Texas, there at the church in Texas, and I'm going to mess up that name of the church again there if I'm not careful. I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to mess it up when I see there it is. Sutherland Springs. I was going to give the wrong name there for a minute. Sutherland Springs, in Sutherland Springs, Texas, First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs. Pray for the people there. They're going to need our prayers in the days, weeks, and months ahead. And like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom on the line calling in from, I believe it says Texas tonight. Tom, welcome to the program.
No.
Oh, you're talking about Texas. I'm sorry. I'm going to blame that on the guy behind the glass. This is Tom in Akron, the Akron area.
Wanted to, you know, touch on something. You're talking about that topic about Texas. You know?
Yeah. We actually have had people call from Texas on listening online, so it wouldn't have been too unusual. So.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even hear about it. Of course, I've been busy all weekend. I haven't really even tuned into the news.
Yeah, well, this just happened this evening. I heard about it coming home from our nursing home service, and then when I got to the hotel where we meet for church, I went looking online and got some information. Then when I got home from church tonight, I looked up some more.
They don't have a lot of information yet. They don't know if this is terrorist-related then.
Right. We're not sure. The bulk of it right now tends to argue that either he went over the edge, he snapped in some fashion, or possibly that he might have been associated with some, you know, like Antifa leftist, ultra leftist type group, but we don't know any of that. We just don't know.
Well, Well, I got a comment on what you, mm-hmm. you were talking about, you know, when you were talking about guns and stuff, you know, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what it is, you know, it's like, you know, it's people I think are afraid of guns because maybe mm-hmm. a lot of people have never been exposed to them.
Right.
You know, or grew up with them or worked in a capacity in law enforcement or in the military where they, you know, where they were trained with them. And so I think there's a fear with them. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It's like, you know, if somebody has an intent in their heart to be violent or to do bodily harm to people, they can use any kind of a weapon at their disposal, you know,
right.
from a baseball bat to a kitchen knife.
Yeah. In fact, in Britain, having banned, you know, the private ownership of pretty much every gun or most guns, not only has the incidence of crimes involving guns from criminals gone up because they know they can't be defended against, but stabbings have gone up.
Right. Well, people forget, you know, years ago they used to talk about the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, guns or any kind of weaponry will be available to anybody that has, you know, terrible intentions. I mean, you know, it's just like drugs. It's like, you know, everything's accessible on there. I mean, of course they're illegal, but people get it, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if we think we can eliminate guns in this country, yeah. How has the war on drugs gone towards eliminating drugs in this
country?
But
it's interesting because I was thinking of the passage, I think it's in fourth chapter of James, where it says, James is asking, where do wars, you know, come from? You know, and wars don't necessarily mean just nations. It's, you know, people warring amongst themselves or this anger that, you know, that perpetrates into war or mm-hmm. violence. And so he answers the question in the same verse, I think, where he says, do they not come from your own lusts and
right.
your members?
In fact, that's James chapter 4, verse 1, from whence comes wars and fightings among you?
Right,
not from even of your own lust that war in your members?
Right, so your hunting rifle or your shotgun can be standing in the corner for years and years and never do anybody any harm. But, you know, in the hands of a person who wants to do something wrong, it's coming out of their heart. They're gonna do what they're going to do, and they're going to mm-hmm. use anything. And we're even seeing it now where they're using, you know, vehicles,
right.
trucks and cars.
Yeah.
How many
people did that Home Depot truck run down and kill before that jihadi terrorist
took it out?
What
did he get? He got about 20 people. 8 were killed, and what, 12 are in the hospital?
Yeah, I mean, he just got on a pedestrian bike path and floored it, basically.
Yeah.
And like I said, that truck didn't kill people before he got behind
right.
the wheel.
Well,
it's the person.
We were raised in a different era, I think, and, you know, where there was some sensibility about everything. And, you know, if you were raised in a family where, you know, people hunted and so forth or wanted a gun in the house, I mean, but, you know, we had fathers there that said, hey, you do not touch that, you know, or you have to be trained and you have to come to an age of accountability to where you can understand that thing. So, you know, but it's an upside crazy world, and I get it, you know, I get it, and I feel an anger, too, when I hear terrible tragedies that's going on with that. But on the same token, you're absolutely right, Pastor, you know, all you have to do is look at examples where guns have been totally banned from the populace. And the law-abiding people are the ones that are deprived.
Right.
Okay. They're deprived from having a gun for either self-protection in their home or for a sporting use. And so who's going to have them? It's going to be the criminals that are still going to obtain them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to comment on that. But it does, James points out that, you know, that it all boils out of our heart. That's where it all emanates from. All this violence, terrorism, and everything, it's what's in people's hearts.
Right. You know, I'm not afraid of the gun. I'm afraid of the person that has the gun.
Absolutely.
When you have a person like this guy in Texas who has this weapon and he has no concern for human life, he has no concern for the law. You know, he's intent on doing horrible, evil things.
Right.
And like you said, he could have switched to a vehicle. He could have switched to a baseball bat, any number of things.
Exactly right. I mean, are you going to outlaw kitchen knives because people get killed with knives.
Funny you should say that. Because of the increase in stabbings in Britain, there was actually some government officials who were speculating that maybe we should ban knives over 2 inches long in your kitchen, you know, for private ownership, because who really needs a knife longer than 2 inches?
Well, you know, maybe we ought to do away with box cutters, too, because it's a weapon.
Hey, you know, box cutters, you know, you break off one and there's another one ready to come. How many blades can you get out of that thing?
Yeah, and maybe we ought to get rid of hammers, too, you know. Maybe hammers ought to be out there.
And there's statistics. There's people killed with hammers every year.
Absolutely. So it's like it comes out of the individual. So if a person is intent in their heart to do bodily harm to somebody, they're going to use whatever's at their disposal, even their hands.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know what, we have laws on the books. The laws need to be enforced, and I agree that, you know, people that, you know, are criminals or are convicted felons that have had a history of it, or people that are proven mentally incompetent to possess a gun, we have these laws in place.
Yes.
But you can't stop all this because, like I said, people are going to obtain this stuff. And so all these continuing laws are going to do is they're going to hamper the freedoms of law-abiding people that have no intention of harming anybody.
Right. And like I pointed out in the last half hour, the neighbor who was armed is the one who put a stop to the shooting in the church, not the police.
Well, there you go. So, you know, it's like, well, it's just too bad. I mean, but my heart goes out to those folks. Down there to worship, and they got up to go worship the Lord on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, whatever the service
is. Sunday morning is their 11 o'clock service.
And you never know, but we've seen this before. We saw it in South Carolina a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's happened in other churches too, hasn't it? In other public places.
Oh, yeah.
The people in Jerusalem, they face this all the time.
And not just Jerusalem, in Pakistan, they've had churches where people have been worshiping in church and grenades have been thrown through the window or through the door. Churches in Egypt where they go to church to worship and the church is firebombed and on and on and on. And this is not a new thing.
Well, if we can get the gospel out there, there's a falling away from the Lord. So if the Lord is in your heart, the Lord, you know, 9 times out of 10, the people are not going to do these things if they really have the Lord in their heart. So if you don't have the Lord, then you're at your own human will, and you have no guidelines there to control what your will is. And so I don't know. I just wanted to comment on a few.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate that. And you made a comment too, and I'm going to revisit and also touch on some of this stuff about, you know, it's man's sin. It's the lust in man's heart.
Exactly.
It's the evil in man's heart that needs to be dealt with.
Because
it doesn't matter what weapons you deprive them of. If there's evil in the heart and evil intent, they're going to find a way to express it.
And this bears itself out with abortion, too. You know, that we've written laws that said, okay, you can satisfy that evil intent in your heart to dispose of a human life.
Yeah. And that just goes back to what the Bible says. There's none righteous, no, not one.
Right. We're all sinners.
Yeah, so, we're all sinners. We all have that fallen nature.
There's an old saying. I don't know where it came from. I don't think it's a scripture, but for the grace of God go I, right?
And had not somebody reached us with the gospel at some point, you know, anybody is prone to do certain things, you know, without Christ.
Well, and I'm with you. Let's hold. I'm going to get off now, but I just wanted to comment that I'm with you. Let's hold up the people in prayer whose lives have been totally turned upside down, both in New York and in Texas.
Yeah, and again, the solution to this problem is not more gun laws. The solution is changing the hearts of people.
Exactly right.
And think about this. Whatever the case is, whatever this person's motivation, reason, or whatever was, the devil is partly involved in this sort of thing, too. And, you know, the church, I checked out the website of this church online, actually. And the church there online, when you look at their their beliefs. They believe in proclaiming the gospel, and they believe in seeing hearts and lives change. In fact, they have this on their website. They obviously have not updated their website since this event took place, but it says this: to honor and glorify God by, number one, studying His Word; number two, sharing His Word; number three, praying for His guidance; and number four, doing His will, not ours. And they talk about in some of the things in here about the need to be saved. Right. And so, you know, the devil loves when he can destroy a church. You know, how does a church like this recover, a small church like this, when half or more of your congregation is killed and the remainder, nearly all of them, are injured? This is going to try them. This is going to test them. But the devil wants to shut down the preaching of the gospel. And if he can do it in one small place like this, or if he can do it across an entire country like Saudi Arabia or China or, you know, places like that, he'll do it. He wants to stop the word of God from going forth, because it's the word of God that changes hearts.
Well, I mean, look at the things I'm sure he throws in your life, and I know me. You know, I mm-hmm. try to get out, and I always try to be a good witness and pray that God, you know, put somebody in my path that's seeking. And I just shared the gospel the other day with a contractor who came to my house, and we sat at the table and talked about the Lord, you know, and he was seeking, and I gave him some tracts and shared some passages with him. And this is what we're called to do. This is why, when we're saved, this is our main function here on earth, is to share that message of salvation, because life is short, and none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring, and eternity is a long time, isn't it, Pastor?
Yes, so we need to have that mindset, that we need to reach people with the gospel message, and we know there's going to be evil people out there. We know there's going to be people who don't always respond, and that's where, you know, in Romans chapter 13, God talked about government officials in verse 4, where it says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he, meaning the government official, beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doth evil. And that sword was a device that could inflict lethal a lethal attack, just like a gun in the hands of the police officer or the soldier is today. And that's part of the authorization for the government. But even beyond that, in Exodus chapter 22, I believe it is, it talks about if a thief is breaking into the house and he's smitten that he dies, no blood is to be shed for him. You can employ lethal force. The government officials can. Private citizens can. And just thank God that this neighbor saw what was going on, grabbed his own gun, and put a stop to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it would have been worse.
Yeah, I am not, I am not a proponent of, more gun laws are only gonna prohibit the freedoms of law-abiding citizens. They're not going to do anything to stop the criminal or the violent person.
Yeah. So, I mean, we need to do what we can to protect ourselves, but ultimately the threat is always going to be there unless we can reach somebody with the gospel message and that they put their faith in Christ as their Savior.
Absolutely. Well, that's the key to saving marriages and stopping abortions and right on down the line.
Yeah. Well, and you know, a sad thing is the shooter apparently had at least for a little while gone to I was looking this up, the First Baptist Church of Kingsville, Texas. And is even thought to have helped teach in a Bible class or a vacation Bible school class or something. I'm not really clear on all the details there, but I don't know a whole lot about that church. But, it appears that he was in an area where he had a chance to hear the gospel.
Yeah, well, I didn't know if they figured it out, if this individual that went into the church. I know the individual had connections.
Yeah.
With
Yeah, well, Tom, we're out of time here, and I want to thank you for your call tonight, and I want to encourage our listeners, continue to pray for the people in Texas, the families and friends of the victims there, and for the church there, for that community, and just pray that God will be able to make himself known to the people there in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and pray. We don't know where the next attack would come, and pray that there'll be people there that God can raise up to protect the innocents, and do what you can to reach out with the gospel message, that you can reach people and see hearts changed. That's the best method of prevention. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.